thank you so much. Thank you. Well, good morning. Amen. For those of you who may not know who I am Ted Robinson, the pastor of this wonderful church, Alamo United Methodist Church. And if you're visiting us for the first time, we want to welcome you to our service. And we just hope and pray, and I know that God's going to do something good for you. Amen? I know he is. First of all, let me say this. Got to say this first thing in the morning. Christ is risen. Amen. Amen. He is risen indeed. Our scripture this morning will come from the Gospel of Luke chapter 24. And I'm going to read just the first five verses of it, starting at verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we thank you. Thank you for this blessed day. If not for the resurrection, Lord, no hope for us. But Lord, we know that you are our hope. And not just this day, but every day. You, Jesus, are the one that we worship. You are the one, Lord, that we dedicate our lives to and all that we are. We thank you, Lord, that you died for us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if you would you please stand? And I want to make sure that if you see somebody out there that you don't know, make sure you say hello. Amen? Amen. Just greet each other. Amen. Amen. When you're finished speaking, you may be seated. You may be seated.
Morning, church. Let us pray. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they were told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them, who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the woman, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. In Jesus' name, amen.
Right.
Would you stand for our opening hymn? Come, Christians, join to sing.
Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Morning.
It's turning into a beautiful day. A bit of rain earlier, but it seems to be going away. And now our offertory prayer. Almighty God, as we come before you with our offerings, we are reminded of our constant need for you in our lives. You are our provider, our sustainer, and our strength. Without you, we are nothing. May these gifts be a symbol of our independence, of our dependence and on you, acknowledging that we all have come, that all comes from your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thinking the Lord, she thought one day.
In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over the hands of sinners, be crucified on the third day, and raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all of these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Jonah, Mary the mother of Jesus, of James, and the other with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the stripes of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God.
Thank you, God. May you see it.
Them out, and I want you everybody to open them at the same time, okay? All right, so wait to open them. Same time. How about we pass them around? Here we go. Thank you. Can you give them one over there? Oh, wait, that one's right over here. Here you go. Open it. Wait. You can't look inside yet. Here you go. Another one over there. Here. Oh, good catch. Oh, this one's open already. Let's not do that one. Let's do this one. Everybody got one? No? Here you go, buddy. Here you go. All right. On the count of three, let's open it. You ready? You ready? One, two, three. Open up. What's in there? Why are y'all so disappointed? There's nothing in there. Oh, you got something in yours? I don't know it. I don't... number two? I don't think that was supposed to be in there. I think that's left over from years before. But there's nothing in there. There's nothing in there. But don't worry. Did you know that when the three women went to the tomb and they saw something, they saw the tomb was empty. They were not disappointed, were they? No. They were happy, weren't they? Yes. And the reason, there's nothing in there. I know. But the good news is look, I did get y'all something, right? This is something to be happy about. Well, this is how the women felt, y'all's face right now. It's how they felt when they went to the tomb, because they know that he had died and risen and he is going to be there for our sins, right? All right. So I'm sorry to disappoint y'all, but that was the best surprise I could do, that y'all would be like, what happened? So if y'all could put them back, that would be great. But I will make sure that everybody gets candy, okay? Or a donut, all right? All right. And not to worry, because after the service, y'all are going to have an Easter egg hunt. So make sure to stay with Miss Harriet and see Miss Harriet afterwards, and y'all will have Easter eggs that are filled with something. Okay, but we need to remember that Easter isn't necessarily about the eggs and the bunnies. It's about God's resurrection. Exactly. Is that me? Oh. All right, well, let's not move. Let's close this. That's our sign. All right, let's say a prayer. All right, dear God, thank you for serving us.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for your love. We have the hope of Easter.
Yes, Lord.
Help us share that with others. Thank you for your son, Jesus.
Thank you for your son, Jesus.
In his name we pray.
His name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Have a lovely week, guys.
Right. Thank you, Heather. Thank you so much. I want to, before I start this morning's sermon, I want to say this, a couple announcements that I forgot to make. Make sure that at the end of service that you get your Easter lilies. If you ordered lilies, make sure you pick those up. Take those home with you. All right? Don't forget to get your lilies. And another announcement. Can everybody hear me okay? Everybody in the back, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Good. The memorial service for our dear brother, Ken Austin, will be May 3rd here at the church at 11 o'clock. It'll be May 3rd here at the church at 11 o'clock. This will be for our dear brother, Ken Austin. Amen? Now, one of the things that a pastor loves to do other than to eat is that he loves to love on his congregation. And I just want to take this time to love on you and just to say how much that I appreciate you and how much that me and Tessie, we love you very, very much. But I want you to also know this, that the one who gives you that hope, he loves you more than anything in the world. Oh, man, amen. And don't forget that. And let me say this about this wonderful choir up here. Now, they've added two new members. And I just want, and the two members, would you please, where'd she go? Sandra, could you just stand up so they can see you? And could somebody go get Jada, please? Oh, and Jada, never mind. So I just wanted you to know that those are the two members of our choir. And we certainly appreciate them. Amen. And we appreciate our choir. Amen. 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 Our title this morning is The Resurrection. And this is the last series of our From the Ashes preaching series. We talked about temptation and some other things, but the most important thing that we come to right now is the resurrection. The resurrection, or as some may call it, Easter. Now, if you're a new believer, you know that the resurrection is far and away the very most important Christian day of remembrance. It's a day when we celebrate the empty tomb and Christ's resurrection from the dead. Let me say this. One of the good things about this day, other than the fact that our Lord raised, that every pulpit in this country is preaching about Jesus this morning. Every one of them is preaching about his resurrection. And because of this, I'm hoping, praying that someone may know who Christ is, and then they'll get to, and they'll be able to join in the family of God. You see, we celebrate the empty tomb and its resurrection. But see, we got the benefit of knowing just how the story ended 2,000 years ago. But I got to tell you, for those first disciples, much of what they came across was earth-shaking. It hurt them deeply. They were scared, and they were full of disappointment. You see, there were many who believed that Jesus would come as a conqueror. He was going to reestablish the Jewish nation. He was going to overthrow the Roman Empire, and he was going to make everything right. Many thought the Messiah would be a warrior king like David or Joshua. So you can just imagine how disillusioned and how disappointed they felt when our Lord, he didn't even put up a fight the night he was arrested. And if that wasn't bad enough, he died alone, crucified, humiliated on a Roman cross. Now, it would be impossible for us just to imagine just how hurt and disappointed these early disciples were. It was horrible to them. They just couldn't imagine it. In fact, to them, it was a hopeless, hopeless situation. But you know what, dear one? Thankfully, hopeless is where the story ends. Amen. That's where the story is. You see, the tomb was and is empty. He is not risen. He is not here. He is risen. And Luke 24, 1 through 6 tells a story of how those women, they went to that tomb and at the moment, and they were so disappointed. So disappointed. But thankfully, there were two angels there who were also at the tomb that remind them that Jesus said he must be crucified, and on that third day he'll be raised again. And from there, the women, they went running, and they were so excited that they went back and they told everybody else about what had happened, you know. But we know how this story plays out. But the empty tomb is worth nothing. It's worth getting excited about, and it's definitely worth telling others about. The empty tomb is and always be a definitive reminder that the body of Christ is gone. You see, folks, he's not in the tomb anymore. He's not on the Christ, on the cross. He has risen. He has risen. He is alive. And this truth was so very important that many years later, Paul tells the church at Corinth, he says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. If the tomb isn't empty, everything that we're doing here is pointless. We may as well go home. But if it is empty, and Jesus is alive, which it is, then we have got something to get excited about. I wonder what you may be excited about this morning. Are you excited about all that good food you got at your house you're going to eat? Are you excited about all those wonderful Easter things that, you know, and things that you may be doing? The thing for the believer to get excited about, and not just today, but every day, that he is risen. Now, later on in Luke 24, there's a story where two of his disciples were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And that story, that narrative is found in Luke 24, 13 through 17. And as the story goes on, Jesus was walking with them after the resurrection, and they didn't recognize who he was. They had no idea who they were talking to. But the story goes on, and the Lord began to ask them more and more questions. And eventually, they convinced the Lord to stay with them in a little village called Emmaus. He went in and he sat down at the table with him. He took some bread, he broke it, he blessed it, and he gave it to him. And as soon as he did that, their eyes became open and they recognized Jesus. And he disappeared from their sight. You know, he just up and vanished. Now, I don't know about you, but that would pretty much freak me out pretty good. But listen to what Luke records. They begin to say to one another, and they ask each other, were not our hearts burning within us as he spoke to us on the road and as he opened up the scriptures? And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. You see, an encounter with the Lord will set your heart ablaze. The absolute joy and excitement that these disciples, they must have known that the Savior was alive, is hard for us to imagine. But here's the thing. It got them moving. It got them moving. In fact, they got up and they headed on back to Jerusalem, and they began to share the experience with the rest of the disciples. Note the two things in these narratives. Every time they had an encounter with the Lord, they ran and they told somebody else. You see, when the Lord sets your heart ablaze, you're going to want somebody else to know. You're not going to want to keep it to yourself. You know, you're going to want folks to know that Jesus, he lives, he keeps his promise, and he came back. So Christ lives, and he always keeps his promises. I thank the Lord this morning that he keeps his promises all the time. I thank the Lord that when he promises something to us, that he never backs down and crawfish and make excuses. But sometimes when we promise the Lord that we're going to do something, we tend to back down and we can't do this or we can't do that because of that. But thank the Lord that his promises are true and he never, ever goes back on his word. Now think about this. For a minute, these disciples, they were having a Bible study with the Master. Can you imagine having a Bible study with Jesus? You know, and even better, he opened up your mind so you could understand the scriptures. You know, and Luke records this. He says, Jesus said, everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, prophet, and the Psalms. You know, and Paul writes years later, for all the promises of God, they find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen and glory to God for his glory. All the promises, every one of them, find their yes in Christ. And through him, we should shout amen to the glory of God. Some of my favorite promises are this. Redemption from sin, reconciliation with the Heavenly Father, peace and rest, healing and wholeness, an eternal home, no more tears, pain, or sickness, constant presence from the Lord, friendship, and life from death. It's interesting when you think about this, but from Jesus' death comes new life. Not just breathing life, not just surviving, but I mean abundant, abundant, thriving life. Even in our darkest night, even through our pain, our brokenness, and our sin, even when all that we do seems to be naught, Christ redeems it all and uses it all and sees it all. One of the things, a narrative, a great story in the Bible is about God's servant Job. Job, everything had been taken away from Job. His family, his life, his property, his riches, everything. And all he had to do was curse God. All of that would have been restored to him. That's what the enemy was telling him. But you know what, folks? Job, he does like, he'll do like we do sometimes. Lord, I need a one-on-one with you right now. I need to know why this happened. Why am I going through this? Job is fussing at God in Job 38-42. And about halfway through this fussing, Job says this: "Behold, I am insignificant. How can I reply to you, O Lord?" You know. And finally, Job says something that's absolutely breathtaking. He says, "I know that you can do all things, Lord. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You ask, who is this that obscures my plan without knowledge?" You know, "My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and I repent in dust and ashes." You see, Job found out who God really was. And he learned all he needed to know of God. And through his pain and suffering, his flaws, he made all kind of assumptions and accusations against the creator of the universe. What he thought he knew of God changed when he came face to face with him, and his eyes opened to his majesty and providence of the Lord in every facet of life. One of these days, folks, we're going to have to come face to face with the Master. We're going to have to come face to face with him to give an account of everything that we've done, what we didn't do. One of these days, you're going to have to answer for the Lord told you to do something and you didn't do it. I would say this. I would trust that you would get things right before that day comes. Because before, when you stand before him on judgment day, it'll be too late. And you won't be able to say and blame it on somebody else. It's going to be all on you. The story ends with God restoring all that Job had lost and gave him even more. He gave him more children, more daughters, more livestock, more respect and honor. God gave Job abundant life, and he raised him from the ashes of destruction. As we close out another resurrection, I want to ask you to reflect on this past week. Have you grown in faith? Have you grown to the knowledge of Jesus together? Are you kind of stagnating and still wondering, "Lord, what in the world am I doing? Where am I going?" I want you to remember this morning that he is the very source. He's the promise. He's the way, the truth, and the life. This morning, you can rise up. You can dust off the ashes of your broken life. You can take a step of faith toward the Savior of all mankind. And you know what, folks? He is ready to hear from you. So if I were you, if things are not right between you and Jesus on this beautiful, wonderful resurrection day, this is a wonderful time to get things right with the Lord. And remember this, he is ready for you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Lord, some days are so dark. I can feel like it's the end of the road. Lord, please remind us that you have the power to change everything. We need the resurrection of our Lord to be a reality in our lives. We need it to be real, Lord. Make it real to us this morning. Bring life where there is death. Bring order where there is chaos. And bring hope where there is despair. In the name of our blessed Lord, amen. This resurrection morning, God has given you one more day. One more day. Let me give this quick story. When I was just a young man, probably as young as these two young men back here, I used to sit in the back And I would go to church just so I could hurry out the door. Because I didn't want the urchins to bother me. Back in them days, see, the urchins, they would see you sitting back there and they'd come try to get you to come to the altar. But that preacher would walk up and down that aisle and he would just scare me half to death. I says, he's coming for me. He's coming for me. And actually, he really was. But it wasn't him that was coming for me. It was Jesus that was coming for me. I tell you that story because, you know, the Lord wants each and every one of us. Amen. And he it doesn't matter what other people think. The only thing that matters, folks, in your life, in my life, is that Jesus loves you. And you don't have to worry about pleasing me, but you do have to consider pleasing the Lord. You need to please him. I got no heaven or hell to put you in. So the one that you need to see is Jesus. I say that to say this. The altar is open to anyone who wishes to come, who wishes to say, Lord, I want to dedicate my life to you. Lord, I don't know you, but I want to get to know you even better. The altar is open for anyone who just wishes to come and pray and just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving me. Thank you. The altar is open for anyone who wishes to come. Would you please stand?
An invitation is in the garden. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear calling on my ear, the Son of God is Moses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share. And the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy he shares with me. I'd stay in the garden with him through the night around me falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share. None other has ever known.
Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. I pray that as you leave this place, that the Lord will continue, that if you don't know him or if you need to get right, he'll continue to eat at your heart. And you know what? He will. He will bug you till you get it right. But know this. He loves you very much. He wants the very best for you. God bless you. Would you please stand with me, please? If you could, hold hands with somebody without moving around. Just hold their hand. Amen. Amen. While we pray. Heavenly Father, I give thanks to each one of these that you brought this morning. And Lord, I remember that they belong to you. They are your people, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would bless them as they leave this place. That you would bless their homes, that you would find favor, that they would find favor on the things they do. But most of all, Heavenly Father, I pray that if they don't know you, that those that don't, that somehow, Lord, you, nothing is impossible for you, that they would come to know you. We ask, Lord, that as we go our different ways, that you would help us to remember that the battle, not here in this church, but it's out there. Go with us, Lord. Fill us with your spirit. Thank you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join it with me, with the Lord?
I'm going to sing that.
Oh. You want me to say it? He can sing it. It sounds better than me saying it. Okay. Amen.
Go ahead, dear.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Because it is, having peace tomorrow, because it is.
And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll find life's final war within. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know He reigns. Sing it, y'all. Because it is, I can face tomorrow. Because it is, all fear is gone. Because I know it holds the future, and life is worth the living just because it is. Go in peace.